The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the weeks of Monday, July 27th through Sunday, August 9th, 2026. The commentary for July was written by Tina Francis, a writer, photographer, and seminarian pursuing the priesthood in the Episcopal Church. Born to South Indian parents, raised in Dubai, and shaped in Canada and Seattle, she carries many homes in her bones, an atlas of memory and migration. Now, the commentary for August was written by Peter M. Wallace, the vicar of St. Timothy's Episcopal Church in Aiea, Hawaii, and the author or editor of a dozen books, including A Generous Beckoning, which was published by Forward Movement. For 22 years, he was producer and host of the Ecumenical Day One radio and podcast ministry. The commentary for Monday begins as follows with a passage from Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is firmly fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and make melody. Here's the commentary. My grandmother used to hum when she cooked. No words, just breath moving over memory. In her kitchen, the scent of cardamom clung to the air, and the rice crackled in the pot like it had something urgent to say. I never asked what she was thinking in those moments. Maybe prayer, maybe grief, maybe nothing at all, but I remember the feeling, steady, warm, holy. I think about her sometimes when I stand in front of a congregation with trembling hands, or when my son asks me why the world feels so heavy. I don't always have the right words, not perfectly formed, not polished, just near. Sometimes God comes in long-winded sermons, but sometimes God is breath and ache and a hum you can't quite name. The word that is always there, even when your mouth fails you. And now I'll read the full passage of Psalm 57. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until the destroying storms pass by. I cry to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame those who trample on me. God will send forth His steadfast love and His faithfulness. I lie down among lions that greedily devour human prey. Their teeth are spears and arrows, their tongues sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my soul. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For you, steadfast love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness extends to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And the moving forward suggestion for this Monday is, Find one ordinary moment this week, stirring a pot, folding laundry, sitting in traffic, and let it become a hum of prayer. The commentary for Tuesday begins with a passage from Matthew chapter 27, verse 32. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. Once in the middle of a grocery store, I saw a woman drop her bag. Eggs rolled under the produce bins, oranges scattered in a bright, clumsy parade. People glanced, sidestepped. I froze, then bent down, gathering what I could, my hands sticky with yolk. She looked at me the way I imagined Jesus looked at Simon. I didn't know her name. I didn't know her story. I just knew the heaviness of being human and how it feels when someone reaches for the other end of what you're carrying. Simon didn't volunteer for the cross. I didn't volunteer for the eggs. But there's something holy about being pulled into another's suffering without warning and finding yourself part of their story. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Matthew 27, verses 32 through 44. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to. For he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, when have you been pulled into someone's story without warning? And how might you stay open to that holy interruption again? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday. It begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4a. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. During those first COVID-19 months, my family was in Canada and I was here in the U.S. The border shut like a book, mid-sentence. Not just closed, sealed. I used to cross that line as if it were a crease in the palm of my hand, the way you trace the map of your own skin. Coffee in the cup holder. A bag of hot Cheetos on the passenger seat. Now it might as well have been the moon. We FaceTimed. We texted pictures of dinner. My parents sent photos of their garden, and I, alone in my kitchen, made my mother's kitchen curry recipe, cumin and garlic blooming in the oil, the smell curling into every corner, until it felt almost possible to step across that invisible line and knock on the door. The disciples must have known this ache, this unfixable distance. Waiting not for an open border, but for a promise, a presence, already threading its way across every barrier toward them. And now I'll read the full passage from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. And the moving forward suggestion for this Wednesday is to send a small joy, one sentence, one photo, to someone far away. Let it cross whatever borders still stand. Our commentary for Thursday begins with a passage from Psalm 70, verse 1b. O Lord, make haste to help me. Here's the commentary. The beauty of this prayer is that it's already paired to the bone. It's the kind you say when your stomach drops right through you, when you're kneeling on the bathroom floor, tiles cold, ribs rising, and falling in short, shallow bursts, and you can't remember the long psalms, only this, come now. William Wilberforce must have prayed this one, bitter and metallic in the mouth, while standing before the colossal, many-headed beast of the slave trade. Year after year, door after slammed door, vote after lost vote. It's the liturgy of those who've done everything. Everything human hands can do, and are left staring at the fortress still standing. It's the prayer you say when you need God to be immediate, not someday, now. And maybe that's why these words have lasted, because they fit in the mouths of the breathless. Brevity is the miracle, a blade honed sharp enough to cut through centuries of urgent need. And now I'll read the full passage from Psalm 70. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire to hurt me. Let those who say, Aha, aha, turn back because of their shame. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. but I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God, you are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. And the moving forward suggestion for this Thursday, pray this verse today for a burden that feels too heavy to carry alone. Repeat it until your breath begins to steady. Once again, that passage is, O Lord, make haste to help me. Our commentary for Friday begins with a passage from Matthew 28, verse 8. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. When my son was little and he took a tumble at the park, he wouldn't cry right away. He'd freeze, knees dusty, eyes wide, and look at me. His eyes asked, "Is this nothing, or is this the end of the world?" And I, holding my own breath, decided whether to let my face offer panic or reassurance. I think of the women at the tomb, staring into that emptiness where Jesus' body should have been, hearts racing, looking toward heaven for the same answer. Is this grief, or is this glory? And maybe God's answer wasn't to erase the fear, but to braid it with joy. Enough joy to run on shaky legs. Maybe that's the truest way resurrection comes to us, not as pure joy, but joy that's learned to run alongside the ache. Feet pounding, heart racing, breathless with both. And now the full passage from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message to you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And the moving forward question for this Friday is, if joy and terror arrive together, whose face will you look toward? The commentary for Saturday begins with a passage from Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid?" Over the centuries, faithful people have taken courageous stands against injustices like racism and sexism, or in support of vital services for those living in poverty or seeking refuge. While many protests have been peaceful, some participants have been harassed, beaten, tear-gassed, arrested, and even killed. Many Episcopal clergy and laypersons have taken part in standing up for what they believe their nation should be about. On this day, we commemorate Joseph of Arimathea, who stood up courageously not only to his fellow council members, but also to the Roman authorities so that he could care for the beaten and bloody body of the crucified Jesus. May we too heed the psalmist's call for courage and pray the collect for Joseph of Arimathea. Grant to us, your faithful people, grace and courage to love and serve Jesus with sincere devotion all the days of our life. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a path, a level path, because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And the moving forward question for this day, what courageous stand might you take today as you follow Jesus? Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of this week, let's turn to Psalm 17, verse 3. Weigh my heart, summon me by night, melt me down, you will find no impurity in me. The psalmist pleads his case before God. God has examined his heart, summoning him in the night when his defenses are down, examining his thoughts and feelings, probing his actions and motives by melting his soul to see what impurities rise to the top. And the psalmist comes up clean. Why? Because he has made a life decision. He has determined that he would not speak or do evil. He seeks to live a pure life. That seems so rare these days, doesn't it? In the Gospels, Jesus says that one's words indicate what is in one's heart. A heart that is pure and open with God, speaking encouragement, strength, authenticity, truth, and love to others. But this starts with a decision of the will. The psalmist makes that decision. He speaks and lives positively and purely because his heart is in a positive relationship with God. His speech and actions mirror his heart. Do we dare invite God to weigh our hearts? And now I'm going to read the full passage from Psalm 17. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From you let my vindication come. Let your eyes see the right. If you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, you will find no wickedness in me. My mouth does not transgress. As for what others do by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Guard me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who despoil me, my deadly enemies who surround me. They close their hearts to pity. With their mouths they speak arrogantly. They track me down. Now they surround me. They set their eyes to cast me to the ground. They are like a lion eager to tear, like a young lion lurking in ambush. Rise up, O Lord, confront them, overthrow them. By your sword deliver my life from the wicked, from mortals by your hand, O Lord, from mortals whose portion in life is in this world. May their bellies be filled with what you have stored up for them. May their children have more than enough. May they leave something over to their little ones. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied, beholding your likeness. And the moving forward question as we conclude this program is, prayerfully consider how your words and deeds reflect your pure heart today. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and with other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.